Welcome to Political Coffee, your one-hour thought-provoking news and commentary as you begin your day. And now, here's your host, Jeff Krupp.
It is the beginning of a new week here on Political Coffee. Lots to talk about today, and I want to know what you think about these issues. You know, the Linn County commissioners did something that is very Trumpian. You know what it is? They went on offense. We often talk about that, right? You know, politically. Well, they did. They sued the state of Oregon for not using, under state law, the forest lands to its highest and best use. That trial begins today. It's $1.4 billion. Now, the Register Guard story makes a little mistake in that they say, well, it was 150 Oregon counties. Yeah, it's a little typo there. It's 15 Oregon counties, folks, and other taxing districts. We don't have 150 Oregon counties. We have 36. Anyway, you see, the lawsuit was filed nearly 4 years ago. You see, the Linn County commissioners were Trump before Trump was Trump. Not really, but it is kind of a good saying, isn't it? So this relates to the other story that I want to share with you, because Kate Brown, her Timber Unity buy-off scam is now a news story. And it is this one out of Bend. Well, actually, it's a Ted Sickinger story from the Oregonian. Happens to be a pretty darn good reporter for the Oregonian. The Daily Dead Fish Wrapper, I think, as my friend Lars Larson calls it. You see, she has released an Oregon forest management plan idea. And it starts with saying Governor Kate Brown is clear about how she believes Oregon should clean up the state forest mess. She has requested the help, that the Oregon Department of Forestry leaders and its oversight board develop an agreement with federal authority that consultants say, lefty consultants, folks, from Econ Northwest. Anyway, that they say will save the agency money, it will allow more logging, and promote better, legally defensible conservation. Okay. Yet, the story goes on to say, but the Board of Forestry, agency staff, and some of its most important stakeholders have other priorities, namely a different plan. The next paragraph says it all. Here's a quote from the story. It's a politicized dilemma. Politicized, folks. And it's unclear, they continue, that the agency has the manpower or the money to accomplish both in the near future. Brown's priority is habitat conservation plan, a 50-year agreement with the federal government outlining strict wildlife and water protections on state forests. In exchange, the state would get a waiver from prosecution under the Endangered Species Act if its logging inadvertently kills a protected animal or harms its habitat. Sounds good, doesn't it? This, folks, is what Kate has been doing behind the scenes to buy off what she perceives as the threat of timber unity. You see, this is all smoke and mirrors. And I'll get into all of that today. So as we talk about it, it relates to this other story. You see, Elizabeth Warren, in a Democrat straw poll at a Democrat meeting over the weekend, is favored by Democrats, by a lot. And I mean by a lot. She got 140 votes from these Democrats that got together over the weekend, and no other presidential candidate got more than 20. Now, what does that tell you? You see, this is a biennial summit. It's held at Sun River every year. It is, of course, where Kate Brown went to the other day, right? In that private jet burning all of that carbon as a hypocrite? Yeah. Anyway, this tells you a lot. It really tells you a lot when Elizabeth Warren and her far-left socialist ideas, I mean, she's even left of Bernie Sanders. Oh, I know that she says she isn't. Her defenders say she isn't, but come on. The wealth tax? Not only do you... it was interesting that over the weekend she was talking about the wealth tax. If you really score big, you got to pay not just your income taxes. And if you think about it, if you're in Oregon and you score big, you pay state and federal, you pay almost 50% of your income as just income taxes. But now if you score big, let's say you build a company over 20 years, maybe even less. Maybe 10 years in today's, you know, new economy, right? You've come up with some app or some technology thing, software. It fills a need in the marketplace. It explodes. You make lots of money. You work hard. You started with nothing. You went to the rich people to fund your new startup. And you end up making a lot of money. Turn around. Maybe you go public or maybe you sell your company to a Mark Zuckerberg, which Elizabeth Warren wants to go after, right? I'm not saying he's not worth going after. I'm just saying that this is interesting. Anyway, so you get $50 million in assets. She wants to tax that by 2%. And you got to pay that 2% every year in assets. Things like buildings, things like land. Do those buildings and those lands always gain in value? Well, she thinks they do. So not only are you going to pay 50% in taxes, but you're going to pay a 2% wealth tax. Now, this is Elizabeth Warren. And if this is the mindset of Oregon Democrats, what does it mean for us in Oregon going forward? Because, you see, not only did Elizabeth Warren just blow everybody away here, but so did Tina Kotek for the next governor. Now, as you know, Tina Kotek is probably as far left as Elizabeth Warren is in just about every way. Being the Oregon's first lesbian Speaker of the House. Could she become Oregon's first lesbian governor? I mean, look, we have the nation's first bisexual governor in Kate Brown, right? But what about Tina Kotek? Now, the reason I bring this up is because this has everything to do with how Republicans can appeal to a group of people that are still in the middle, the persuadables, right? So let me tie all of this up for you. This is what we want to talk about today. With the Democrat Party moving so far left, both nationally and certainly in Oregon here, it has woke a lot of people, is the saying, right, on social media. A lot of people that are, well, just been sort of, and understandably so, cynical about politics. They don't want to participate for whatever reasons. I used to be like that in many ways, even though I was very cynical about politics. I always participated. I've never missed a vote in my entire life. Not one since I turned 18. And I'm 60 now. Okay. My point is that there's a sea change in the politics of America. And it started actually a long time ago, but it relates to us in Oregon. If this is how far left the Democrats are going, the way they're going to try to keep the persuadables in their fold so that they can continue winning and not lose their tax-raising majorities and other majorities, they're going to continue to do things like smoke and mirrors forest management ideas brought forward by Kate Brown. Because, you see, her plan is all about buying off big timbers. It ain't going to be enough. See,
the horse is out of the barn. Be closing the barn door after the horse is out, doesn't bring them, right? You see, the Democrats have been exposed for what they are, and more as they feel the effects of it.
If
or Republicans are smart enough to use these issues to persuade the persuadables, to say, you know what, the pendulum has swung so far to the left, it's time to bring it back to the middle. Now let's talk about conservatism. Remember I said that the Lynn commissioners were being Trumpian by their... You see, they went on constantly. I tell you that in Oregon, our Republican Party has been playing defense for far too long. We have Stockholm Syndrome, right? You know, we identify with our captors. Our captors being the far-left Democrats that rule the state. In the news media that has, by and large, supported them until, you know, kind of recently. Well, conservatism has great value. Politics certainly has great value in our lives individually. There's no question about that. Because it is based on, again, what? Based on the principles that are principles of liberty. Opposed that we are human beings who are given our rights by God Almighty and not by government. Those principles are what embody conservatism. They're worth not only fighting for, but how do we take these far left ideas? They're being put in place, being exposed by people like Elizabeth Warren and Tina Kutumpay, and we compare them to conservative values, to conservative things. How do we do that in an aggressive manner that still doesn't turn off the persuadables? You see, do we be a little bit, or do we end it something that we go forward with those ideas? Like being on offense. Now, you know, we're watching, you know, the football season, right? So we're watching. It's football, it's baseball, it's basketball, it's all of it happening. It's no different here, folks. The same is here. And politically, you have to go on offense. That's what the Democrats have been doing for so long. And Republicans have just not done a good job of it. But can we go on offense with conservative values? And how to those persuadable in the middle here in Oregon? What do you think? 503-589-1220 is the Power of Buick GMC talk line. Emails to Jeff at 1220.am. Be right back.
Jeff now at 503-589-1220. That's 503-589-1220. Let's return now to more of Political Coffee with Jeff Krupp.
22 minutes past the top of the hour. No, Mary, I am not drunk again. We're having some internet issues, folks. I got an email from Mary out in Shaw. Mary, thanks for listening, but that's just too good. Oh, my goodness. all right. So, you got these stories today about Elizabeth Warren being favored and Tina Kotek for governor at Oregon, Elizabeth Warren for governor. Okay, straw poll Democrat meeting in Sun River over the weekend. And you got, I mean, the clear vision of the Oregon Democrats, anyway, is you can't move far left communist, is basically what they're saying. Okay? So, how do we use that as conservatives? How do we use that to, well, to speak to the hearts and the minds of those persuadable voters in the middle? You see, you do that by going on offense in a way that moves people thoughtfully on their own to come to conclusions. That politically, the people who are running Oregon really don't have their personal best interests at heart. Oh, they say they do. It's all for the children. Raising your taxes, putting in place a backdoor sales tax is all for the children. And we've got to save the environment because we know that Trump is destroying it. And the Republicans are destroying it. We know that these horrible loggers out there are destroying the environment. So what we got to do is we've got to save the planet. Because, well, the stuff you're breathing out there, folks, is you're just destroying yourself. And you don't even know it. So we, the government, we, the liberals, we, the people that really care about you, have to regulate your life such that you don't have any liberty anymore because you don't know what's good for you. You know, like drinking too many sodas, right? Or like a plastic straw. Last night I took my airplane mechanic because we were working on my airplane. Yes, I have an airplane, folks. Don't ask. Anyway, we're working on my airplane yesterday afternoon. Took him to dinner. Red Robin, a great restaurant to have some cool burgers. And we had to ask for a straw. Why? Because you have to ask for a straw. Because straws are bad. They're made out of plastic. Plastic comes from fossil fuels. So you have to ask for one. Why? Because the Oregon legislature passed a bill saying you have to ask for one. You can't just be given you. All right, so now you're not going to get those plastic bags after the first of the year because the Oregon Democrats, because again, plastic bags are evil. So we're going to ban them. That's Democrats. Now, we say liberty is better. We say that, hey, I'm smart enough to make decisions for myself and my family about everything. What kind of car I want to drive, what kind of house I want to live in, how hot or cold I want that house to be, where I want to go vacation, how I want to choose to travel, what I want to eat. That's called liberty, folks. And it is a principle that God gave us. And those rights of liberty come from God. Now, that's what we believe as conservatives. So, with the opportunity, and that's what this is, the opportunity to go on offense in a way that really does help people figure out that they're not only being lied to, but that the people that are lying to them really just want to control their lives in every way. And that every place that has been, well, that's tyranny, friends. It's the opposite of liberty. Every place that's ever been tried, this failed miserably when compared to liberty. So the Linn County Republicans, they're all three of the county commissioners are Republicans. I know them all. They're all my friends. They went on offense before Trump was president. They sued the state of Oregon because state law says, as it's laid out in this news story, gives the history of the Forest Management Act and how the money from these state forests has to go to schools and it has to go to the counties for roads. It's not being managed for its highest and best use. That's obvious because, well, the Forest Management Act was amended to say all kinds of really good, far-left, liberal, feel-good things. Oh, we got to have riparian zones, and you can't have logging roads, and, you know, blah, 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 blah. And what it did is it took away all of the revenue. Not all of it, but a lot of it. Now, they decided that isn't right. It's against the law. In fact, the lawyer that they've hired is a guy I know, John DiLorenzo, Republican lawyer, very bright, very expensive. And he is arguing this, and he knows how to argue these things at trial. So this trial begins. They went on offense. And they're doing this because they're saying how it impacts people's lives. This is how you do this stuff. See, conservative values, we have to point out the benefits of it. In sales, those of you who've ever been in sales, you know this. It's feature benefit. Your product, your service, whatever, has a feature that makes it unique. It's a niche in the marketplace. But the reality is, people buy that feature because it provides benefit to them personally. And it is the same thing with politics. No different. You're trying to sell yourself or your idea, your issue in this case, suing the state government for not following the law. What's the benefit of doing that? Well, you make them follow the law. You hold them accountable. Why? Because the impact of holding them accountable and following the law means your schools are going to get better. At least they're going to have more money. And it means you're going to have better roads. But even more importantly, it's keeping a deal that was made a long time ago. That's how you sell it, don't you think? Am I wrong? Am I right? 503-589-1220 is the Power of Buick GMC Talkline. Would love to get your perspective. Send me an email to jeff@1220.am at 6:30. I'll be right back, and I hope you will be too.
Jeff now at 503-589-1220. That's 503-589-1220. Let's return now to more of Political Coffee with Jeff Krupp.
24 minutes till the top of the hour. So, has Kate Brown's secret plan been revealed about how she's going to buy off the timber industry so that she can put in place her, well, rural economy destroying is the only way to really characterize it. This idea of cap and tax. It's a scam. Now, you just heard me say that, right? And I've been talking to you about how to be persuadable when it comes to this whole business of us as conservatives being able to speak to the hearts and the minds of people in the middle, right? How do we do that? Do you use a word like scam? Or do you say something like, you know, they're lying to us about this? Once again, the politicians are lying to us. Now, the reason that I say that is because, first of all, politicians are not held in high esteem, shall we say. If you look at the polls, they're about as bad as trial lawyers. Thank God we had trials lawyers. Did I just say that? I think I did. Thank God we have trial lawyers, because when you need them like John DiLorenzo to make powerful arguments that will have an incredible impact in Oregon's political future, in this lawsuit by the Linn County Commission to make the state actually fulfill what the law says it has to do. You got trial lawyers like John DiLorenzo that know how to convince people. Now, this is going to go on a long time, and it's going to continue to be very expensive, and he's going to make bank on it. But you know what? if it's successful in the long run, it's a good thing. So you say to somebody, you know, the politicians are lying to you again, don't you? Well, you're just reinforcing negatives, but you're also getting, you're piquing someone's interest, aren't you? They go, huh? Well, you know, the governor's got this new forest management plan that she says is going to create more logging, because, you know, this, all these Oregon counties have a lawsuit against the state for not using state forest land that the law says has to be used for schools and for roads. So our schools would get more money. Well, they're not getting more money because the state, which is managed by people with a environmental mindset rather than a let's help our kids in school mindset, is not using the land that they have to by state law for our schools, for our county roads. So we have good county roads. And she's saying that the governor is that, hey, she's got a plan to make all of that better now. And you know, she's not being truthful. Because she knows two things. She knows, number one, that whatever plan they come up with will always have the opportunity for the environmental community to sue and to tie it all up in court forever. Number one. And secondly, it's all about stopping a true grassroots movement that is very bipartisan. That's called timber unity. You see, a lot of the people in the timber unity movement are registered Democrats, folks. And some of these are in swing House and Senate districts, which is why you had three Democrat senators who would not vote for this thing, the cap and tax scam. Now, again, when you say certain things as a conservative, you say, you know, the politicians are lying to you again. Yeah, that's a negative, but it's a truism that people just sort of believe anyway. And it doesn't matter whether it's Trump or whomever. There's this perception we have in American politics, and certainly in Oregon with Kate Brown, that they will say and do whatever. What's, it's Karl Marx, isn't it? The ends justify the means. Say and do anything you need to win. So Kate Brown has been out very quietly, and I know this for a fact because I've been told this. She's been very quietly going to these big timber owners, big timber mill owners, and people in the timber industry that own a lot of timber land, private timber land. Oh, and there's lots of bills and initiatives to regulate private timber land too, by the way. Anyway, she's been quietly going to them, listening, really trying to figure out what she needs to do to buy them off. Because what will happen if she's successful is she'll get them not coming against her carbon tax scam, which is a bureaucratic scam, is all it ends up being, that once you put it in place, it's there forever. Because it's a contract. You're providing things that you cannot contractually unwind. That, friends, is the danger. And she knows that these two things will happen. She knows that even though she puts this plan in place, supposedly her forest management plan, she knows that if she's successful in buying off the opposition, timber unity and so-called big timber, that she puts in place carbon tax and scam. She knows that her forest management plan that she promised will get tied up in court and never really happen. And she also knows that once cap and tax is in place, it's there forever. And that all of the little pieces of cap and tax, like the little buy-offs, the timber credits to these big timber companies for how much carbon they sequester and all of this, they know that it can all be changed simply by just bureaucrats. And she knows it will be, because she knows that Democrat governors are going to be governor of Oregon for the foreseeable future. Because she's also counting on Republicans being incompetent and inept at being able to communicate to enough Oregon voters to actually win a governorship for a change. 503-589-1220 is the Power Buick GMC talk line. Emails to Jeff at 1220.am. Got to go to the phones. We'll start first with Art. Got to go quick because I got a lot of people on the line. Art, good morning.
Jeff, what can you say? Well, you're not surprised at all with what the Democrats supported this weekend and who they supported. It's obviously the Metro agenda all the way. And the hell with the rest of the Oregonians, as y'all know. And, of course, they are going to try to buy off the Timber Unity guy. Okay, but there's only one piece of the puzzle. You still have the farmers. You have the people who, you know, use natural resources and stuff. And I don't believe those people are going to allow... the Metro Democrats to destroy economic, environment here in Oregon. I mean, small businesses, et cetera, et cetera. And so
right. Hey, Art, unfortunately, your phone is just horrible this morning. We're going to have to let you go. We got to figure out, and often this happens with your phone. I don't know why, but... Anyway, we're going to have to let you go. Darn it.
Connection.
Yeah. Look, your point is well taken, though. I mean, it is going to be the direction of this state unless we individually, one by one, can persuade the persuadables on conservative values and the benefits of it. Let's go to Rebecca, who's on the line. Rebecca, good morning.
Hi. The government has a graph that Mike Nierman's aide was doing some research, and he found this graph, and it shows how in the early days they didn't have suppression of fire in the forest, and the and it shows how many acres per year burned, and then for years they had fire suppression and hardly any acres burned, and now what they're trying to do is convince us that that global warming is causing forest fires. But this graph shows how the it's a policy change in a particular year that they announced that is causing the fires to burn because they're not using suppression of fire anymore. And I believe that's tied into this whole thing that you're talking about because they would rather... burn the forest and have us believe in global warming so that they can bring in cap and trade, then they care to have us cut the trees and make a profit and live profitably.
Well, you're absolutely right. I mean, it's, again, this is why their ideas, supposedly to save the planet, destroy the very foundations of liberty. And our ability to choose for ourselves where we want to live, how we want to live, the things we want to do. Imagine if we didn't have trees that we could log. Rebecca, thanks for your thoughts. Ron, hang on. I'll get to you on the other side of the break, folks. It is 6:48 in the morning. Yeah. Kate's plan has been exposed. Will it be successful? Back in a moment.
Call Jeff now at 503-589-1220. That's 503-589-1220. Let's return now to more of Political Coffee with Jeff Krupp.
It is 10 minutes till the top of the hour. As promised, I'll go right back to the phones to Ron, who hung on through the break. Ron, good morning. What do you think today?
Morning. I'm out here on 99 going to Sherwood to work. And the thing is this, I've seen tens of thousands of cars. Let's talk about the big money. Let's talk about aggressively taking vehicles from anything from the late 80s to the middle 90s and charging such high fees that they can bring in an extra $1 billion of receipts based on a sliding scale. We'll use California Resource Board, their resource board tactics. That's a bureaucracy, just like we have a Carbon Resources Board set up through our Department of Energy that was set up 5 years ago, just came in February. You know, the 20 to 30 Democrat decision that I was in, you know, that was argued against. We ain't talking about that money. We ain't talking about controlling that, pushing your natural gas bill up from $8.66 per thousand cubic feet to $18 to $32 per thousand cubic feet, which is forcing companies like Southern California Gas, Pacific Gas and Electric, to get away from natural gas and then, quote-unquote, environmental cleaner material. And keep this in mind, in 2020, the coal power plant in Boardman will be shut down.
That's
right.
And
we're going to be cutting, converting to natural gas. You have two dams right now in dispute along Cave Falls. 940 megs of power, lots of homes, enough power to supply Eugene and Springfield down the Klamath Basin. That's in a lawsuit that they'd want to take out also, according to Kate's plan of the California Combat with her cousin. Okay? And then the last thing we got to address is that the extra cost, the human toll of senior citizens or property tax jumping up so high, and rent because of it. Look at the $450,000. Go back 10 years ago, you'd have less than $20,000 in the state of California homeless. You have a $450,000. Over 80% to 90% of them are working class Americans that cannot afford the extra fees on electricity and other fees that goes along with the green mentality. I mean, if it's selling in California, why do you want to go and put it in this state? Why
right,
do you
so,
want
so
to
let
take
me ask
away
you
the
this question, Ron.
People?
Ron, so let me ask you a question. You just articulated the essence of the argument. So how do we say that to a persuadable person? So in other words, how do you help a persuadable person understand that it's these far-left policies that are increasing their cost of living so much that they can't live the way they want? And
okay,
who's responsible? Who did that to them?
The responsibility belongs to the state again. The responsibility belongs to the people of the state who sits by and let things happen. You know the old saying in Germany.
Yeah, but no. To stop that from happening, how do you stop that from happening? You have to convince those persuadables that a group of people are doing this to you. So they won't vote for those people to keep doing it to them. That's what
you
have to do.
90% of the people I ask, I said, do you have an extra $3,000 a year to give in fuel and utility costs off the top? That is the true cost in my pocketbook. I drive 20,000 miles. You raise it up to California prices. We're paying $309 in Salem for the cheapest fuel. They're paying $4.19, $1.10. So that'd be $2,100 extra of my pocket for the same drive time. Do you have an extra $150 a month just in utilities? If you burn electricity, you're going to be paying a lot of bank. You're going to be averaging, your house is averaging $100 to $125. You'll be paying $250 in real time. And keep this in mind, the numbers I quoted is from a 1,400 square foot house. A lot of your condominiums and small rentals is right around $1,200, $1,300. Okay? The last argument that you can portray is that, hey, you know, they're the ones that, instead of taking that money and cleaning up a forest, California has a lot of state forests, they abandoned their duties of maintaining the forest as promised. Look what we've done currently. We can't maintain our forest from the silo slaw all the way down to the state line. It's always a powder keg. Why? Because we have a complacent governor. We have a complacent natural resources committee chairman like Dembro and Prozanski in the House and the Senate and Burdick's and Williamson's that believe that we can save the future. But in reality, you cannot save the future. The only way you can save the future is
and that's right, Ron. Ron, thanks for your call, brother. Be safe out there today.
Thank you, my brother.
You're absolutely
right. God bless all those, and pay attention. Be active.
Indeed.
Bye.
Help people pay attention. And that's, well, you have to bring these things home to yes, their pocketbook. Ron is right. I mean, he knows the numbers. You look at the high price of gasoline in California. There's a reason why it is. And it is because of, well, it's the cap and trade program and other things they've already put in place. Oregon's put most of those things in place. It costs you, and he's right to say, do you have an extra $3,000 more per year to give? But it's even more than that, because it's the mentality of all the other rules and regulations, like rent control, right? Like a whole bunch of other things. But even more importantly, it's even deeper than that. It's the loss of your liberty. It's government telling you how you must live your life because you're not smart enough to figure it out for yourself. That, friends, is as impactful on an emotional level than just about anything else you could say in terms of the facts. Ron laid out the facts. One of the persuadable ways you can, one of the things you can say, hey, you got an extra $3,000 a year that you can spend for energy, for gas, and for electricity and natural gas? Because that's what, if Kate Brown gets her way, that's what it's going to cost you. And I guarantee you that 99% of the people, and I mean, are not aware of that. Ron just did some simple math, folks. You want to be like California? Why is the middle class leaving California? Because they can't afford to live there. They can't afford a house. In some places in Oregon, we're rapidly getting to that place also. Why? Once again, it's regressive, totalitarian, Marxist policies. Now, you don't want to say that when you're trying to be persuasive. But it's anti-liberty policies put forward by one group of people. And it ain't the Republicans, folks. Look at every city in Oregon. They're all run by the Democrats. And what are they becoming? Well, look at homeless. Look at all of these other situations. Why are some people homeless? Because they can't afford to live. Who's responsible for the incredible increase in cost of living? Is it Republicans? No, it isn't. So at some point, again, you have to share your conservative values in a way with people that gets them thinking so they come to these conclusions. Maybe you do something simple like Ron said. Said, you know, I did the math. You know what Kate's cap and trade system that isn't going to make any difference in the world output of carbon? You know what it's going to cost me? I did the math. That's how you help people think about it on their own terms. Thanks for listening today, folks. The beginning of a great week. Hope you're back tomorrow because I'm going to be... maybe with better internet, too, so I don't sound drunk. Right, Mary? Be blessed, friends. Talk to you tomorrow.